What I want to talk about today is a simple concept, really a very well-known and basic concept, but I think that if we look beyond just the words and look beyond the simple level of it, I think we can learn a profound lesson from it. There's a mitzvah, an isser in the Torah of Lo Yavai Amonim Me'avi B'Kal Hashem, that a person from Ammon and Moab can't become part of the Jewish nation. Gamdar Asiri, even the 10th generation can't marry into us, which basically means that the door for Ammon and Moab to marry into and become part of the Jewish nation is pretty much closed. Now, this mitzvah is not something that we can keep today. Ever since Sancheirov came and mixed up the nations, more than 100 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, we don't know anymore who's an Ammoni and who's a Me'avi, so on all practical levels, this mitzvah is not a mitzvah that we can keep today. But we still have to learn it, and we can still learn something from it. And we know the reason. It's told to us why they can't marry us, and it says that because when we were passing by their land in order to get to Eretz Yisrael, they should have come out to meet us with bread and water. And there was a lack in their Midah of Chesed, and we'll see other Midah soon, but there was a lack in that they didn't come out to greet us with bread and water, so therefore their Midos are not the kind of Midos that we want in Klal Yisrael, and therefore we're not allowed to allow them to marry into us. But the question is, and this halacha is part of a list of other halachas of other nations of who we are and aren't allowed to marry into us, that they're allowed to be Mitzgeir. The question is who they're allowed to marry. But if there's any nation that we would think shouldn't be allowed to marry into us, it's the Amalekim. The Amalekim are not charged not only with not doing something nice to us, they were the ones who came out and did something negative to us. When we were coming out of Mitzrayim, it was the Amalekim who came. And yet, the Chiyuv says, is Lysis Eva Doimi. Don't hate an Adomi. Why? Don't hate somebody who comes from Edom. Why? Because they're our relatives. They come from Esav, and Esav is Yaakov's brother, and because they're our relatives, we should not hate them. But if we think about it, Ammon and Moab are also our relatives. Ammon and Moab come from Lot. Lot is a nephew of Avram and Sarah, so it's maybe a little bit of a further relationship, but why are Ammon and Moab so different than Edom? We would think we have more of a reason to hate Edom than we do to have hate Ammon and Moab. And the answer that's given is that the primary midah that they are missing, Ammon and Moab, is Hakaras HaTov. Because the only reason there is an Ammon and Moab is because of Avraham, our relative, their relative, who saved Lot. He saved him from when he was captured by the kings, and he went out to war for him, and he saved him. And it's only because of Avraham that Lot was saved from Sodom, and it's only because Lot was saved from Sodom that he had these children, Ammon and Moab. So their whole existence is because of Avraham Avinu, and therefore, by not coming out to greet us with the bread and water, it shows that they are lacking Hakaras HaTov, they're Kfuyei Tova. They should have recognized the good that we did for them, and they should have come and they brought us bread and water. Now, this is something that we all know, but we have to stop and think about this in modern terms, in practical terms. You could think about the war going on between Russia and Ukraine. Here come the Yidden. They're going out with tremendous strength. They have demonstrated tremendous strength in the Midbar, and everybody knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them. And they are camping out at the border. And Ammon and Moab are petrified. They're saying they're petrified that the Jews are going to eat us up alive and we're going to be destroyed. And what we expect from Ammon and Moab is not only do we expect them not to come out and defend themselves, but we expect them to march out with a marching band and food and water to give us. Why? Why should they come and help us? Because so many years ago, their ancestor was saved by our ancestor. If we try and make a cheshbon how many years ago this was, we are 9 generations back. So we expect these goyim to remember that the grandfather of the grandfather of the grandfather of the grandfather was saved by ours 450 years ago, and because of that, we expect them to give us food. And if the answer is yes, which it is, then what we have to understand is how deep the Midah of Hakaras HaTov has to go. In essence, a Jew has Hakaras HaTov, and they do not. They have no Hakaras HaTov, and therefore they cannot join us. How far does this chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov go? How much do we have to be Makir Tov? What if somebody once did us a favor, a long, long, long time ago, did us a favor, and then after they did us the favor, they turned against us and harmed us terribly? Do we still need to be Makir Tov to them? Somebody who once did something good to us and then turned against us and became our worst enemy. Do we need to be Makir Tov? And logic would say no, but the Torah says otherwise, because another one of the lists of chiyuvim here is don't hate the Mitzrayim, ki ger ha'yisa ba'artzei. Don't hate the Mitzrayim, and Rashi says, states the obvious, that they threw our babies into the river and they enslaved us and they were terrible to us, but you cannot hate them. Because when you needed a place to live in a time when there was a terrible famine in Eretz Yisrael during the time of Yosef, even though they turned against us and they were our worst enemies after it, we can never hate them, even though they made us work hard for 210 years. Can you imagine if we actually lived like this? If we could recognize the good that people have done for us and live with the knowledge of what we owe people, even if they have since turned against us, even if they have since caused us tremendous harm, but because once they did something good to us, and most people with whom we have relationships do things to us more than once, but they're good to us more than once. But if we could hold on to the good that they did, despite anything that happened since then, because that's what a Jew is and what a Jew does. Imagine how much more kindness and happiness there would be in this world. The Sefer HaChinuch points out that the purpose of the Midah of Hakaras HaTov, and why we even have to be grateful to inanimate objects, as we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu, who couldn't hit the river and he couldn't hit the sand, because once the river and the sand did something good to us, and of course we know that the river doesn't care and we know that the sand doesn't care, but for Moshe Rabbeinu it would have been bad to turn against something that once did something good for it, is because it was essential for him to be a Makir Tov, because that's the Midah of Hakaras HaTov. And when we develop, the Sefer HaChinuch says, the Midah of Hakaras HaTov to people and even to things, that's how we will learn what is essential to us, which is to be Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who does so much good for us each and every day. And it will lead us to think about how much. If Hashem has done so much good for me, if He has given me these eyes, how dare I use these eyes to do something against Him? And if He's given me my legs to walk in the right direction, how dare I use my legs to walk in the wrong direction? So what we have to say is, the more Hakaras HaTov we have, the more we are cognizant of our obligations and what we have to fulfill in this world. And if He's given us time, and He's given us health, and He's given us wealth, and He's given us menuchas hanefesh, and whatever He's given us, if I am makir the tov, then it leads me to a much, much greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we approach Rosh Hashanah and the beginning of next week, the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Bikurim, which is all about Hakaras HaTov. What we need to realize that our entry point into next year, into the year that we're all starting to be very much focused on as Elul marches on, is the entry point is to be grateful for what we have, for all the good that we have this year, and to remember to focus on it, and also to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. Because if we're not aware of the bracha, then the bracha didn't really happen, did it? Meaning that the bracha comes to give us the feeling of we have so much, and if we don't notice the how much we have, then the bracha is not here. And when we're going to be asking a Kaddish Baruch Hu for a whole long list of things, and we all have our whole long list of things, what we need to start with is to turn to Him and say, I notice, I appreciate everything that You have done for me this year. And again, what we're learning from the chiyuv of not hating a mitzri is that even though hard things have also happened this year for all of us, we have to focus on the good things that have happened. And when we recognize the good that has happened, then we have with what to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say, you've given me so much, and I recognize this so much. Can you please continue to bestow your brachas on me?